Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Queen Collection by Matthew Peed, narrated by Sierra Klein and Gabriel Vaughn. Entry 1. The Mortal Queen. Chapter 1. Luella. Reagan Station vanished in a ball of light, leaving nothing more than a crater. I stared at the scene, unable to do a thing. I had felt powerless plenty of times during the course of my life, but this was one of the few times that I hated myself for my weakness. If only I had tried harder, worked harder, perhaps then I could have changed this outcome. A scream ripped through the air as Alara snapped, driven mad by Reagan's death. Anger pulsed around her as she turned toward me, her eyes awash with red light as all sense left her. "Everyone should just die," she yelled as she flung herself at me. I snapped awake, just as the tree-shaped sword she wielded was driven through my chest. I took several breaths to calm down. Sadly, that wasn't the first time I'd had that nightmare in the last few weeks. I would never admit this in public, but Alara losing herself was one of my biggest fears. She was the only one who could match Reagan in his power, and without him here as an anchor, I worried for the future.
"Everything all right, my love?"
I rubbed my face before looking at Rockruss. "Yes, just a nightmare."
"The usual?"
he asked with concern. I sighed and nodded.
"She has Nara, my dear. While there is sadness enough to kill some people, I like to think that the girl is helping her cope more than anything we might do."
"I know. You're right," I said, then dropped back into his arms. I guess Reagan had been just as much an anchor for me as anyone else. I had known him for almost 2 years, but in the same thought, I had to recognize I had only known him for 2 years. I couldn't help but wonder what else I didn't know about him that we just never got a chance to talk about. I cuddled closer and took Rockruss's hand. "Go back to sleep. I know you're struggling more than I am lately." Part of Rockruss's power had come from Reagan's core. Now that things had changed, he was having to compensate. It was nothing life-threatening, but his effective tier had dropped from 4 to 3 unless he pushed himself, though that was true for just about everyone recently.
"Thanks. I'm sorry I'm so damn tired all the time," Rockruss said with a grimace.
I smacked his chest. "None of that. Nothing is anyone's fault. We just have to adapt to the changes." I smiled as I realized he probably didn't hear any of that. He was already fast asleep again. I felt sorry for him. Most of Reagan's creations had been hit particularly hard by the world changes made by the gods. I rolled over so I could peer out the window. The shattered moon glowed brightly tonight, along with the larger pieces of the wreckage from the fighting. With my eyesight, I could make out a few of the fragmented ships that had waged war up there just a few short weeks ago. I had no idea what the situation was for most of Reagan's things. From what I understood, the Viventum had withdrawn from the Alliance, along with the other dungeon corps. At least they hadn't started fighting us mortals, or themselves. That would have been too much to handle.
"Scary just how much of this world had come to rely on you, Reagan," I mumbled, before rolling back over to bury my face in Rockruss's chest.
The smell of burning woke me. Blinking as I looked around, I found the sun spirits basking in the morning light. One of them was sitting on a pile of clothes which had turned into a bonfire around her. Being immune to fire and heat, the girl likely didn't even notice. I jumped out of the bed and pulled the energy from the fire while picking the girl up. She looked upset that I had pulled her out of the sun, but I simply pointed at the pile of ash.
"That's the third time this week, Tip."
A chirp-like bell tone came from the spirit. It basically translated to, "Sorry, didn't notice." I shook my head and moved her over to the metal banister that the others were sitting on. Soon the maids were going to say I was lighting clothes on fire because I disliked them or something. I shook my head again, then got dressed. The final dress that Reagan had made for me still functioned, which was a blessing. Otherwise I would have had to leave the surface. The outpouring of mana was one thing the gods had decided to leave intact. I'm sure there was a profound reason, but for me, it was just annoying. Once I was dressed, I waved my hand and Helios floated over to me. The castle was as busy as ever.
With the war over, there were still hundreds of thousands of things to take care of, almost on a daily basis. I paused at a window. In the front courtyard now stood a massive statue of Reagan. I'd had them use his early form, the metal automaton with parts peeking out from metal plates. In my opinion, he was the most human at that point.
"You're going to be late," Rockris remarked.
I nodded and left the spot. When we reached the throne room, he moved in front of me and held the doors open. As I walked from the side passage, I took in the line of people that had already formed. It was not even an hour past dawn yet. I hid my discomfort and took my spot on the throne. I had chosen this. I would do my part. 6 hours later, I looked at the record keeper. "Why are there this many? I thought we had refugee centers in place to handle 70% of the issues being brought to me."
I'm not sure, Your Highness."
The woman fumbled with her hands before bowing. I just shook my head at the woman. I knew it wasn't her fault, but she was receiving my annoyance of the last few hours.
"Just have someone figure out what is going on."
I turned away from the keeper and leaned back in my throne.
"Vanika and Lekazar were enemies, but now we are one family. I'd like to keep it from falling apart only a few months after putting it together."
"I'll see that it is looked into."
The keeper bowed again before running away. Bandits, starvation, declining health, land relocation, and a variety of other topics that should have all been covered by the stations were cropping up. I didn't understand how so many people could have reached me. While I pitied them and wanted to deal with their problems, I would literally have had to fly all over the continent to take care of every issue.
"Where is Val?" I asked.
He was my military advisor and commander-in-chief in my place. The advisor cleared his throat. I gave him a look. I had to be careful not to overwork my staff.
"Last I checked, he had the 7th Battalion dealing with a rebel force that was threatening one of the Thanaka cities. From the last report, they had grown to a sizable number."
"Then news about the Machine Father vanishing has finally spread," I stated, deadpan. Many people had followed us because of him. No doubt Laloon was going to use this to boost her numbers again. They had taken a fairly heavy blow from Reagan's actions, but no matter how hard you hit some people, they would refuse to believe. Blind faith was one of the strongest features of a good chunk of Laloon's followers.
"That is likely. Even if the knowledge that he gave his life to save the entire world spread, there are those who will always work that into a twisted and spiteful version."
Rockris had a point. The more time that passed, the less people would remember Reagan. That was just how the world worked. The gods had said he was lost, but they didn't say he was dead. I didn't know where he was, but I had a feeling that he would teleport behind me and tease me, just like always. Chapter 2. I didn't manage to escape the meetings until late evening. Each issue was minor by itself, but when put together, it painted a dire picture for my queendom. I knew that it would be months, maybe even years, before it stabilized. That didn't stop me from wishing the people would get along. Stretching as I stood from the throne, I left the grand room and walked over to the balcony.
"Rockris, I'm going for a walk," I remarked, as I boosted myself onto the balcony rail.
Sitting there, I enjoyed the breeze from the evening air. Winter would be arriving soon. It would be interesting to see just what it brought with it this year. He chuckled with a small shake of his head.
"Just be careful, my lady."
"When am I ever not careful?" I asked, as I dropped back off the railing. Falling a short distance, I channeled my mana to generate a magnetic field around me. Using the field allowed me to fly easily enough. I shot into the sky. Flying over the city, I looked down to take in my people. The capital of Videtta was a jewel on the continent, with towering buildings that rose high into the sky, well-paved streets that were comfortable for man or beast to walk on, plenty of food and drink for those seeking it, and much more. Even as night set in, the city was alive and breathing, brightly lit by all manner of means. I glanced toward the south. Reagan's tower stood proudly among the buildings. There hadn't been much activity around it since his disappearance. Alara was keeping to her own dungeon and Reagan's main core. I hadn't gotten a straight answer yet about what was going on with the cores, but they still worked, allowing my people to continue to dive them. Without his dungeon, the population of my city would starve in a matter of weeks. I took a deep breath, enjoying the various smells on the wind. Reagan might have started this city on its current path, but the people living in it were going to continue it. A day didn't pass that I didn't receive a report of someone having a breakthrough in some field. My city would become the center of the world. I would make sure of it. Spinning, I turned away from the city and flew higher into the air. This time was the only time I got to myself. As the queen, I was always busy and surrounded by people. I didn't mind most of the time. This was my lot that I had chosen for myself. Sailing through the air, I aimed for an overhang on the valley wall. Sitting down on the ledge, I reached down and tapped a rune that was subtly carved into the ground. The ground pulled away, revealing a staircase that led into a black void. As I walked down the stairs, the entrance resealed itself and plunged everything around me into pure darkness. I raised my hand and used some mana to create a small light. Sparks of electricity jumped between my hand and the small ball of energy I created, casting a blue light over the stairs. I made my way down, not really needing the light, as I visited this place several times a week. Once I reached the bottom of the stairs, there was a room that was filled with various items. To one side was a small workshop, tools and materials set in neat piles. On another was a sofa with a liquor cabinet. Glancing around the room, I decided to make for the liquor cabinet today. Looking at the offerings, I pulled out a whiskey. I hesitated to pour a glass. I only had 2 more bottles from Reagan, and no one in the valley had come close to replicating it. And believe me, I'd tried to find someone. I decided the day deserved it and poured a glass. Replacing the bottle, I took the glass and dropped down into the sofa with a sigh. I waved my hand, and the lights of the getaway turned on and emitted a soft yellow glow that was easy on the eyes. Making this room had been easy enough. As the queen, I had access to any magical tools that I might have needed. The only person who knew of this place was Rockris, but he'd never been here personally. I liked to think of it as the queen's cave. With another sigh, I raised the glass to my lips and took a sip. I savored it for a long time. Reagan knew his stuff. The whiskey was some of the best drink I'd ever tasted. His disappearance was really going to hit me once I finished off my stock. I smirked to myself. That was sad, in all honesty. I lay back on the sofa and closed my eyes. I'm not sure what made me look up, but a thrumming sound reached me just before a black swirl appeared in the air. I jumped off the sofa and grabbed my staff, ready for whatever might be coming. I truly wasn't expecting a bruised and beaten Julie to drop out of the portal. A bestial arm that didn't belong in this world reached out of the portal, aiming for Julie's prone form. I swung my staff while transforming the end into a blade, slicing the arm clean off. The severed limb jerked back through the portal, which promptly closed. I held my staff at the ready and waited for anything else that might come through. When I felt nothing else was going to open a portal in my getaway, I tossed Helios and dropped down to check on Julie. "Hey, stay with me," I said as I pulled her up. Blood leaked from dozens of wounds, which was impressive in its own right. Her body had been changed by Reagan. Few things could damage her skin, let alone make her bleed like this. I picked her up and moved her to the sofa before retrieving some supplies. While I worked to stem the bleeding, the aura of the dungeon kicked in and started healing her wounds. In just 10 minutes, she went from being at death's door to looking like she had just gotten into a brawl. I grabbed the chair from the workshop side of the room and sat down next to her. "You alive?" Julie's eyes fluttered before they opened completely. She sat up and looked around. "Where am I?" "In the valley, just in a small hideaway that I made to escape the everyday hustle and bustle of the castle." I looked her over. Now that the wounds had healed, I saw that she was looking rough. Rougher than just having come from a fight. She had disappeared shortly after Reagan had, unable to handle the world without her god. "I see. I guess even without Master, this place calls to me." I got up, heading for the liquor cabinet. I refilled my drink while pouring her one as well. Walking back and handing it to her, I asked, "So, Are you going to tell me what's going on? She frowned.
I was slaughtering the demons. They stole my master from me, so I was doing them a favor and killing them.
You were on the Samar continent? I exclaimed, surprised. The maelstrom prevented travel to the other continents. With teleportation messed up right now, I thought it was impossible to reach the different continents.
Master gave me many gifts. She looked to the side like she was embarrassed. Plus, I know how to fly some of the smaller space vessels.
You stole one of his ships?
She had some serious guts. Alaro was keeping everything locked down tight. If she knew that Julie had taken one of the ships, it wasn't an exaggeration to say that she would hunt the woman down.
No, Master said that I could use them. When he returns, he will certainly explain.
Julie, I reached out, but stopped. I wanted to believe he would come back too, but if it stopped me from living my life, then we had a problem. I worried that her obsession might cause her even more harm in the future. From what Reagan had told me before, she was able to live far longer than a normal mortal. Even more so, since she was Tier 4. Hundreds of years would pass before death became even remotely a concern for her.
Don't, Julie growled with animalistic eyes. I'll find him.
She went to stand up, only to fall back. Whatever method she'd used to get back to the valley from Samar had nearly killed her.
All right, I won't say anything about Reagan.
I reached over and grabbed the blanket from the side of the sofa. Yes, I had taken naps here. I tossed the blanket over her.
You should still rest before you head out again.
She looked like she wanted to argue, but knew I was right. Dropping back on the sofa, she quickly passed out. I moved over to the workshop and wrote instructions on how to leave the getaway. I wasn't worried about anyone seeing her. Not only was this place guarded from outside by the overhang, but there was also a minor illusion that hid it further from sight. Placing the note on the table, I left the getaway. Hopefully she wouldn't leave before I asked about the portal. It had felt different from the Shadow Realm, but I could just be misremembering the sensation. It had been brief and violent the last time I experienced it. Glancing back at the now resealed passage, I wished that Julie wouldn't do anything to get herself killed.
Chapter 3.
The incident with Julie pulled at my attention. I was torn on what to do about the situation. Biting my lip, I jumped into the air, heading for the dungeon. If anyone could help her, it would be Ignea. No doubt she would want to hear about Julie being back in the area, especially if she really had taken one of Reagan's ships. Landing in front of the scrapyard, I found people streaming in and out of the dungeon. The location was still one of the best places to earn a living, one of the many blessings that I was thankful for every day since Reagan's disappearance. I straightened my dress, then proceeded into the scrapyard. Comments of, "Your Highness," accompanied by bows, came to me as I walked through the crowd. I knew I was going to get an earful from Azal later, but I couldn't wait for a guard detachment to protect me. The tide of people faded as I got deeper into the scrapyard. Ignea had made a few changes, and everyone, no matter who they were, had to fight through every centimeter to get deeper into the dungeon. That included myself.
Ignea, I need to speak with you.
I waited, but got no response. I sighed, not expecting anything else. She might as well have been hit as hard as Alara after the loss of Reagan. More, in fact, since she'd inherited the dungeon, as she called it. I tried again a few more times, but got nothing. I tapped the cufflink on my arm.
Rockris, I'm heading into the dungeon. I have some urgent matters to discuss with Ignea.
There was a pause before his face appeared on the flat surface of the magical device.
Are you sure it can't wait until I get over there with some guards?
I shook my head. It probably could wait, but I wanted to stretch a little, and having an armed force with me would take away all my action since they wouldn't let me lift a finger.
No, just wait at the entrance. I'm sure Ignea would be happier about that.
It wasn't exactly that she had become jumpy, but she was not dangerous. Rockris sighed.
If you say so. Keep me posted.
I smiled, happy about his worrying. It made me feel loved.
I will. I swiped my hand over the cufflink, then focused on the dungeon around me.
I'd always hated the scrapyard. It felt more like a graveyard to me.
All right. Time to see an old friend.
Striding forward, I kept my eye open. The automata here were creepy at the best of times recently. As twilight overtook the valley, it would make it that much worse. The presence of a few other parties in the area made things a bit better, but most people were leaving the dungeon for the day. I detected movement from the piles of junk that I was walking toward. Rusted and damaged automata crawled out from the piles. They were armed with equally rusted swords and shields. These creations used to be simple targets, easy practice for the newer adventurers who were trying to earn a living. Focusing on the sword one of the constructs possessed, I sensed some dark magic. From the fluctuations I got from it, anyone cut with that sword would suffer from headaches and stomach pains for at least a week. If you got multiple wounds, it wasn't an exaggeration to say you were in for a horrible week. That had come as a surprise the first week as we were adjusting to the changes. I raised my hand and sent out arcs of lightning, easily frying the monsters. I shook my head before picking up my pace. As I hurried through the first floor of the dungeon, swarms of the zombie automata, as they'd come to be called, attacked me. I made sure to reduce them to twitching piles of scrap metal. Every now and then, a trap would trigger that would cause a double-barrel machine gun to pop out of a scrap pile. This was the biggest challenge for most people, but using magnetism, I found it easy enough to deflect the rounds. After about 10 minutes, I finally reached the boss, an automata that rested in a hammock. The thing was killed close to 100 times a day due to the amount of traffic in and out of the dungeon. If you were lucky, you could get past him if another party killed him, as he took about 20 minutes to respawn. The boss rolled out of the hammock and picked up his weapon, a large tube-shaped gun that Reagan called a rocket launcher.
Yo, man, I was just about to get my sleep on.
Sorry, I have to see Ignia. It's important.
The boss shook his head.
If the boss lady wanted to see you, you'd already be in front of her.
Then I guess I'll just have to go a bit deeper so she knows I'm serious.
That'd be fine. I'd be wanting a real challenge, man.
The mana around the boss increased until it was unlike a second ago. He went from low tier 1 to easily tier 3. This was why Reagan's dungeon was so popular, and so hated at the same time. Parties of any level could come and challenge it, and be challenged the entire dive. However, it was just a pain in the ass for me at the moment. Lifting Helios, I raised my own mana levels as I prepared for the fight. There was a streak of smoke as a projectile flew at me. I kicked off into the air just before the spot I was standing at exploded. I sent a dozen bolts of lightning, but the boss had increased his speed. This fight wouldn't end instantly, like the junk monsters throughout the rest of the floor. He flipped his weapon over, and a hail of metal slugs came flying at me. My magnetic field repelled most of them, but there was an aura around some that made it impossible for the field to stop them. Dropping to avoid the incoming attack, I landed lightly before twisting to send myself flying at the boss. The recoil from his weapon made it hard for him to adjust his angle of firing. Taking advantage of that, I pulled out an Adaraminum dagger and sliced clean through the boss's torso.
Not bad, man. Not bad.
The two halves of the boss collapsed, and the passage to deeper into the dungeon opened. I sheathed my dagger, then headed in. A short elevator ride down, and I was at the fields. I pulled in a deep breath. It was like summer had come all of a sudden. The smell of grasses, herds of various animals, and other plant life greeted me.
Glad this place is still the same, I commented as I strode forward.
The fields was a passive floor Reagan had created to handle the food issues of the valley and surrounding areas. All of Reagan's towers had one, and they were a coveted resource. Two of the towers had already seen 2 attempted bandit raids on the field's food supplies. I cleared my throat and looked around.
Come on, Ignia. This is important.
Again, there was only silence. She must be in a mood today. With nothing else to do, I jumped into the air and made for the next floor's entrance. I waved to those who lived on the floor, mortals who had signed a contract with the dungeon to work the fields for a small wage. I said small, but it was better than most wages in the land. One of the biggest worries I had for the future was that farming would cease to exist outside the towers. When I landed at the entrance, a guard walked over and bowed to me.
Your Highness, it is a pleasure to have you with us today.
He looked behind me as if checking for something before clearing his throat. He lowered his voice.
You should have your guard. The lady is in a bad mood.
I gathered. I'll be fine. Things might have changed, but we're friends and allies here. I patted him on the shoulder as I walked past. Good work making sure everyone stays safe. While I made my way down, a blast of frigid air washed over me. A field of snow that seemed to go on forever was met with the backdrop of green pine needles. I channeled some mana to fight off the cold, then flew into the air. After a while, the space inside the dungeon was horribly twisted. I made it to the outpost that was of mortal construction. I bypassed it and made for the forest farther beyond. My presence wasn't unnoticed. I spotted a pack of wolves made of metal running under me. It was almost as if they became one with the wind as they ran, easily keeping pace with me. I made it a few more minutes before needle-sharp icicles began flying through the air at me. They moved slowly enough that I was able to dodge them without much trouble, but their being ice made it impossible for me to deflect the projectiles like I had the bullets from the scrapyard. I twisted while I kept up my pace and sent several arcs of lightning into the metal beasts. Their reflexes were better than the ruined automata. The wolves were able to avoid the lightning by moving at the last second. Damn robots. I increased my output until there was a lightning storm around me. The near twilight dimness of the floor lit up to almost day levels from the number of lightning strikes. One after another, the wolves turned into melted husks. None of them had the bright blue mane that marked them as sentient. Those usually stuck to the edge of the floor to avoid the overzealous adventurers. These were more like empty shells. I didn't have to feel bad about destroying them. There was a loud bird's cry as an eagle made from blue metal came from the sky. I ground my teeth. Ignea really was having a bad day. I cupped my hands to gather mana into a dense ball. It went from blue to white in a matter of seconds. I waited until the boss angled into a dive, then tossed out the charged mana sphere. The eagle couldn't avoid it, taking the sphere full in the chest. An explosion that rocked the entire floor blasted out as the eagle fell to the ground underneath us, most of its torso missing. I rubbed my head before I flew to the entrance of the next floor. Landing with a groundbreaking impact, I walked down the stairs. If Ignea didn't talk to me soon, I might be forced to ask for Nara. That wouldn't be good for anyone. I walked out into the mining floor with a small amount of trepidation. It felt good to move and use my mana, but at the same time, I was sort of in a hurry. I skidded to a stop as I found Ignea waiting for me at the exit with her arms crossed. Ignea, I've been trying to talk to you all day. The fairy was almost the size of a teenager now. She was still as beautiful as when Reagan had created her, but the last 2 months had changed her. Her once gorgeous wings that reminded others of rainbows had been dyed black. Her pale silver hair had lines of green and red in strange, unnatural patterns.
What do you want?
My heart dropped at the tone in her voice. If you had told me that it was hatred, I would have believed you. I knew that Ignea blamed what happened to Reagan on mortals. Even if she didn't say it out loud, there was some resentment that Reagan had given his life to protect us. As a dungeon fairy, she was tasked with protecting her dungeon core. Reagan acting like her father only made things worse. I rubbed my hands together nervously. Julie is in my gateway. She was hurt badly. Ignea scoffed.
That woman loves pain.
The light dimmed around us as I felt Ignea's mood cool even further.
She is a thief and should be punished for her transgressions against father.
I quickly held up my hands. Now, I really don't want to take sides, but I think Reagan wouldn't have minded her using one of his ships. A shiver went up my spine as Ignea glared at me.
Don't speak of father to me.
The ground cracked under us as her anger flared. I didn't want to say that she was the one who brought him up. Okay, no problem. I started to reach out, but forced myself to stop. Listen. We both know teleportation is messed up with the changes made by the gods.
she still managed to open a portal from somewhere to reach the valley.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?